Hello, everyone. I'm Becca, dietitian by trade, mom 24/7, wife from the start, and when there's a few extra hours in the day, you might find me hitting the trails or on horseback.
And I'm Kara, a therapist to women, a mom to a boy, an entrepreneur, mountain junkie, and a postpartum runner.
And this is Fit for a Queen, a podcast that's devoted to the female athlete wanting to balance the teeter-totter of all the things we desire out of life as women. Performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self, even if we only get 1 minute out of the day.
We're so excited to be bringing you the queens in the athletic world who have done just that. Okay, ladies, take a seat at your thrones, grab your crowns, and welcome to Fit for a Queen. Thanks so much for joining us. We have Amber Paris here in the studio for you guys today. Let me tell you a little bit about Amber. Amber Paris is the Director of Clinical Services for Residential Programming for Castlewood Treatment Centers in Birmingham, Alabama. She's a licensed clinical social worker and a certified eating disorder specialist. Amber has treated eating disorders for more than 10 years. She's had specialized training and experience in body image, EMDR, dialectical behavior therapy, acceptance and commitment therapy, and prolonged exposure for PTSD. She's a candidate for the Certified Sex Education Therapist designation and has a particular interest in issues of intimacy and sexual addictions and eating disorders. She currently serves as chair of hospitality for the Alabama chapter of International Association of Eating Disorder Professionals. Amber is committed to helping clients rediscover their sense of self and reconnect with their values and purpose to drive them towards recovery. Thanks so much for joining us, Amber.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Such an interesting background. I love kind of the special interests of intimacy and sexual addiction and eating disorders. That's pretty specific.
Yeah, I think my background really is all in eating disorders, and I have just found more and more that intimacy is so closely connected to that. And so I wanted to develop a language to talk about that more with clients. So it's been really great to study.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, thanks for being on. We're talking a little bit about body image today, and it's something that we've been talking about here on the podcast, but haven't really had an interview where it's more specific to body image, because I think it's sort of a complicated concept. So how would you define what body image is, and how do we come to feel the way we do about our bodies?
Yes, I'm glad that you say it's complicated, because that's how I feel also. Because I think on the surface, body image is this way, or this the way that we see ourselves. So, you know, I guess when you look in the mirror, what do you see when you're living in your body in the day to day? How do you feel? How do you feel in your relationships compared to other people? I think body image is all of those things. But I think it goes beyond really what we see, and it's how we live in our bodies and how we move in our bodies and what we've come to believe about ourselves from those experiences. So it's really, and that's, I think, one of the things that I'm really passionate about when I talk about body image, is wanting to make sure that we put voice to the deeper experiences of our bodies. So I think all of that is kind of wound up in the idea of body image. And then likewise, we sort of, our body image is informed by lots of different things. So it is informed by how we feel when we get dressed in the morning and look in the mirror, but it's also informed by the circumstances and situations from our life that have told us how to feel or what our bodies mean. So it's very complex, and I guess kind of like a lifelong journey to get to the place, or maybe it's always evolving over our lifetime about who we are and how our bodies inform that.
Mm-hmm. I love that concept of how do you live in your body? Because how many times do we hear people say, when I lose 20 pounds, I will, or if I could be more confident to go out and date. And so they're not really living.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always talk about, And part of the work that I do personally and then with my clients is how can we be alive in our bodies? Because I think we spend so much time disconnecting, or we're so maybe overly connected that we're ruminating and hyper-focused. And so there's sort of this neutral middle ground of just being alive in our bodies in the moment that I think is hard to do.
Right. So, you know, with the Olympics just occurring, we've had a lot of focus on different types of bodies, body image, and a lot of times I think people believe that athletes are immune to struggles. Do you believe that's the case?
I do not. I think it's a big myth that people who are accomplished through athletics or are fit in their bodies, it's a myth that they just must, you know, feel great and they're immune. I actually think in some ways they may have a harder time dealing with body image because there's such an emphasis on performance and such a push to see what the body can do. So I think they probably have a hyper awareness in that regard.
Do you believe that there are people out there that love the body that they're in? Is this negative body image an epidemic that we're going to deal with, you know, moving forward, or has it always been there?
You know, I think that, and my specialty is eating disorders, and so I work often with people who really hate their bodies. But the thing that I talk about with my clients is people in general, the mass population, I think, struggles with their bodies. So I guess in that way it could be described as an epidemic, but I think that the goal is that if I don't know if there's this destination, like we just arrive at a place where we love ourselves and then we just live there forever. I mean, that would be great and wonderful. And maybe some people do that. But I more think that in life, because of circumstances and because of emotions and because of things that we hold in our bodies and believe to be true, we're kind of on this journey with our bodies. And if we could just learn to develop a language with ourselves wherein we could move more towards acceptance no matter what is going on in life, I think that seems like a more realistic goal to me than just we're going to live in a place of rainbow and harmony and complete love with ourselves always.
Yeah.
So I think that's a tough place to live.
You know, being in the field for a little bit, have you noticed that body image issues have gotten worse over time? I'm just thinking how much social media we have access to and how much comparison that can bring. And I'm just wondering, do you know if it's gotten worse or kind of stayed the same or has become more complicated due to some of that access that we have?
I think it has. I don't know if it's gotten worse, but I do think complicated is a good way to describe it because there are so many images that are, you know, either false or fake or manipulated that we are pretty saturated with on a daily basis. I mean, I know that's true for myself, just on my social media accounts. There's so many pictures of how we should be. And I think comparison is a really big issue. I don't even know how one would escape comparison because it's just everywhere. And so I think it is more complicated for sure.
Definitely. I mean, I can remember stuff. All you had was like Cosmo and Teen Vogue to look through.
That was bad enough.
Yeah. Now it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
And the images that we're looking at aren't just celebrities. You know, it's people that we do life with. It's my best friends and my family members who have these pictures. You know, the level of comparison hits closer to home because it seems like we should be obtaining these things. I think that's what we tell ourselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. So how do you see the negative body image, exercise, and eating behaviors overlap or intertwine?
Well, I think so. Some of the criteria for an eating disorder, and there's different diagnoses, but there is a pretty common thread around a drive for thinness or a need to change and manipulate your body. And so I think that body image component can be pretty consistent within most eating disorder presentations. And I think that exercise can be a way to manipulate your body or attempt to change your body to reach a high standard, whatever that picture is that you think you should be. But I also think that a lot of the time within an eating disorder, there's a need to just escape the body experience. So, you know, your body is often the thing that holds your emotional process. When you feel angry or sad, you feel that in your body. And so an eating disorder can just be a way to help you escape that. I think exercise can, if it's used in an unhealthy way, it can either help you escape your body, or on the flip side, I think that sometimes people stop moving and they stop exercising because they want to disconnect from their body. So I think it can go both directions.
Mm-hmm. I love how you put that. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm just thinking of those that struggle with eating disorders. It is such a disconnect from wanting to get away from that experience, right? Versus,
right.
It's really hard to talk clients into connecting to their body.
Right.
It's super uncomfortable, right? They're not used to doing that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of the work that I do with clients. And as I'm even leading body image groups or whatever it may be, I do these exercises with them. And I realize, you know, even within my healthy self and healthy life, how often I disconnect from my body. And I can go throughout an entire day without really sinking into my body experience. And so it's such a good reminder. And I think as people, we just kind of disconnect and can go into autopilot or whatever it may be and stop listening to our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Instead of sinking into that body experience. Sure. I like that, how you describe that. Mm-hmm. That sounds kind of scary.
yes.
Kind of like I went autopilot this morning and poured chocolate milk into my cereal.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Becca's a little disconnected today. We're going to get her some coffee. Well, that brings me to the treatment aspects of this. And I think you made a good point. And what I've felt when it comes to body image interventions in a therapeutic stance of like trying to talk to my clients about acceptance, and it's all rainbows. We all love our bodies, and that's kind of the goal. And I find that really that falls short. So what are some of the things you guys are using at Castlewood, or some of the steps we can take to get to a place of more gratefulness or acceptance around our body when we're so disconnected in the first place?
Yeah. So out of these discussions about like there's not enough material out there, we don't have a language outside of you should just love yourself, just love your body and be grateful and move on. We really felt like that fell short. And so we developed a curriculum. We've called it the Body Embrace Curriculum. And it is a method of trying to help clients really walk towards acceptance and gratitude. And so there's really three parts to the program. And the first part is body tolerance. And so in this stage, we really encourage our clients to just reconnect with their bodies and stay alive to that process. And this, we're not pushing positivity at this stage. We're not pushing love and acceptance. We are just trying to open back up the relationship between the person and their body, and in a metaphorical way, kind of like starting a discussion in that relationship again. So we focus a lot on breath work and where do you feel breath in your body. I do lots of guided imagery with my clients and try to get them to connect to sensations in their body, tightness or tension, or even it can be really powerful for clients to feel neutrality in their body, to recognize that there are parts of their body that they don't hate in that moment or that aren't in pain. And in that way, the body can be a really great resource. And they can kind of start to open up lines of communication again. And so after clients can tolerate their body experience and not live in a state of disconnection, we move into body acceptance. And within body acceptance, there's curiosity and exploration. We start talking more about gratitude in this stage and how our body gifts us. I love that idea that our body is constantly giving us these little gifts throughout the day, like sight or touch or healing or whatever it may be. And then the last phase, which I don't think people just live constantly in this place, but it is a place to kind of dance in and out of, maybe, is body compassion. And that's really like pushing into loving our bodies and moving maybe a step beyond gratitude and just seeing all the great things our bodies do for us on a day-to-day basis.
Love that. Mm-hmm. I listened to, you can go to Castlewood's website and listen to some of your webinars. And mm-hmm. I listened to where you talk a little bit more about that philosophy in great detail. And it really did connect to me. I love this starting with body tolerance mm-hmm. first versus let's just go to body acceptance, right?
Yes.
And I like body compassion even better than body acceptance right. and that we dance in and out of that. I really like that.
You're
a
right.
lot.
Not every day are you going to love your body no. and be exactly. like, oh yeah, I'm rocking it. No.
Exactly.
I got the flu.
Exactly.
I'm in my sweatpants, but at least I can.
I'm not rocking anything.
Exactly. And I think when we start saying those things to clients or even to just each other, we give ourselves permission to be human. And there's even compassion in that. Like, mm-hmm. it's okay that today I don't love how I feel. You know, I just feel blah in my body or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. And that's okay. And I can have compassion on that posture. Mm-hmm. And so it just takes down this expectation and creates a little bit of space. Yeah. And that's a nice place to be.
Mm-hmm. Accepting the blah versus
yes.
doing behaviors to make the blah go away.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Amber, you've made such great points. I love your kind of therapeutic style that you guys are working with out in Castlewood. So at the end of each interview, we ask our interviewee themselves, so how do you live out the FIT philosophy? How do you find balance and focus on performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self? And it sounds like you do kind of walk the walk of what you're talking to your clients about. So how do you find the balance in all of it, Amber?
Yeah. I think that something that I found a lot of personal freedom in is just accepting the journey of it all. Because I am an active person and I just like everyone else, like to feel good in my body and in myself, but that looks so many different ways. And I feel like there are certain seasons of my life where I just have to be more kind with myself, that I can't always move in the ways that I want to, or life truly is very busy and I have to just be in the busy. And so I think there's just a perspective around, but it's a journey and it's going to be okay because there's going to be the next season and there's going to be a change that will bring something new. And so I think I pretty consistently am reminding myself of that and having compassion in that way.
Yeah, that's nice. Thanks so
you
much.
Have a lot of great lines. I like that.
I know.
Being the busy.
Becca's like texting or giving her notes of all your lines over here.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Well, Amber, thanks for being on. If you would like to find out more about Amber Paris and Castlewood Treatment Center, please go to www.castlewoodtc.com. Thanks so much, Amber, for being on.
Thank
Safe
you,
travels.
Guys. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Queens.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you to our sponsor, Castlewood Treatment Center. Castlewood is a treatment center in St. Louis, Missouri, Pacific Grove, California, and Birmingham, Alabama, offering compassionate, empowering, and professional treatment for eating disorders and core-coring diagnosis, with multiple levels of care, residential, partial hospitalization, and intensive outpatient available. Castlewood works with gender-diverse clients ages 16 and older. While the eating disorder is a distinct disease, we believe it is also a symptom of an attempt to cope with other struggles. Our treatment starts with a comprehensive conceptualization of how the eating disorder developed, among other related issues and conflicts that lead the individual to rely on the eating disorder. Our mission at Castlewood is not to churn out weight-restored clients who merely look healthy to others, but to identify and address the internal wounds of those individuals and work toward a more healthy person overall. For more information, please contact us at 1-888-822-8938 or go to our website, www.castlewoodtc.com. For additional information on today's topic and guests, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fit for a Queen.
Hashtag Fit for a Queen.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We can't wait for you to join us next time on Fit for a Queen.
Bye, Queens.